Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Yours on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Shuley, your host, and we're broadcasting from New York. Well, don't you love it when you get the scoop on a movie before it's even out? In fact, still filming? Well, we are going to talk with our guest today, Patricia Ray, who will be appearing in the upcoming movie, The Big Wedding. Patricia plays Madonna Soto, the biological mother of the groom, who is betrayed by Ken Barnes. And the other members of the cast include some greats like Robert De Niro, Diane Keaton, Susan Sarandon, Katherine Hagee, Robin Williams, and others. And although Patricia is of Colombian descent, she was born and raised in New York, and she's well known, or at least very well known, for her critically acclaimed film, Maria, Full of Grace. Patricia has been appearing in films such as Swim Fan, Night Stalker, PJ, Dozers, and Driftwood. And on television, she has appeared in The Closer, Heartland, Malcolm in the Middle, Law and Order, Law and Order Criminal Intent, Miami Vice, The Mentalist, and Alias. Patricia is now living in Los Angeles, however, where she continues to hone her craft and teach power flow yoga. Well, I'm going to have to ask Miss Ray what that is, because I've never heard of power flow yoga, but she'll tell us because she's on right now. And so let us welcome her to the show so we can chat with her more about her career, her life, and power flow yoga. So how are you, Patricia Ray?
Thank you. I'm doing very well, Deirdre. I'm so happy to be on the show. Thank you for having me. And I have so many things to talk about. I'm having, like, the best summer of my life.
Oh, well, we want to hear about that. So why don't we just start off by you, well, I often wonder what motivates someone to get into their career. And I read that you lived a rather isolated life as a kid. So was that what got your imagination going?
Absolutely. I was raised in a super Catholic environment. My grandmother was immigrated from Colombia, and my mother was very young when I was born, and, of course, she went straight into the workforce. And my grandmother ran a boarding house, and, you know, she just kept a very close eye on me, you know, being from another country. And so I, you know, had to spend a lot of time on my own, creating my own environments and my own friends. And that definitely had a big role in playing, you know, kind of my career choice. I watched a lot of television, so I grew up watching sitcoms like, you know, Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett. And I just had... And I was drawn to comedy as well. So this is actually the first time I'm in a big comedy.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, if the film itself is a comedy.
It is. It's a romantic comedy starring a bunch of basically icons, which is amazing. I'm working with, you know, Hollywood's finest and most talented. So it's been a true gift to be in such an amazing ensemble cast with such really loving and giving actors. The director, Justin Zach Ham, who this is his big, big directorial film. He wrote the script for the bucket list. And he's
is that unusual,
so,
though, for a writer to direct a film as well?
It's not so unheard of, but he just, like, he won the director's lottery. I mean, to direct your first big film with all these amazing, talented superstars is a big deal. So he's super excited. And he was really gracious because he took us all on the along for the ride. You know, he really shared the joy and the momentum. And every day when we went to the set, it was like we were playing and we were allowed to, you know, contribute to the film. And he was very open to suggestions and also just very, very gracious in letting me create my character the way that I thought that she would be organically, you know, be portrayed.
Now, you said that you haven't been into any comedies.
Not really. For most of my career, I've played a lot of, I've played a lot of mothers because I was a mother at a very young age, and so I always identified with that. But I've always played a lot of victims. I think Latinos in general in the film industry have been mostly victims. Now in the last maybe 10 years, the last decade or so, you see, you know, Latinos being played as doctors, lawyers, cops, you know, more professional types. But when I first started my career about 25 years ago, you know, we played the lower class, you know, we played the working class, the blue collar, the helpers, the cleaners, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the drug dealers.
And don't you think that applies to almost all the minorities, though?
They do.
Those roles were always similar. We're always the lower class of the maid or the as you say, the prostitute.
Absolutely. African-Americans, Asians, Latinos, they have always, you know, we've had to come up through the ranks in terms of Hollywood, and I think that the biggest and the greatest power and force that we have is to write and to encourage our people to write and produce and direct and get in, you know, positions of power where we can make a difference, where we can make those changes, you know?
I agree, and pool your monies because, you know, the more monies we put together as a group, the more we can do things for ourselves.
Absolutely. When an African-American film or a Latin film comes out, you know, that audience needs to go out and support that filmmaker because that's the only thing that Hollywood and the industry listens to is money. So if that creates revenue, they perk up. They go, you know what, that was like Maria Full of Grace was a very successful film. It was a very big crossover film. I mean, the whole film is in Spanish with subtitles, but yet it did incredibly well all over the world because it was produced by HBO, who strongly backed the film. They did a great job of publicizing it, and I think films, that opened the door for a lot of Latin American movies that were done in Spanish to come over and be successful, you know?
Well, was that your first film? You were very young in that movie.
No, it wasn't my first film. The first film I ever did was Swim Fam, and I actually played a nurse in that film, so that was great because I got to play, you know, not such a blue-collar character, and it was a very young cast, Erica Christensen and Jesse Bradford. It was like a big teen, you know, big teen movie. So that was a great film to kind of break into. And then Maria Full of Grace was the first time I was in the position to be in a lead role in a film. So that gave me a lot of, you know, respect as an actor. And a lot of people started to take notice of my work after that film.
Well, actually, isn't that why the director thought of you for this particular film?
Absolutely. The casting director, Barbara Fiorentino, she suggested me for the film, and Justin had seen Maria Full of Grace, and he knows Joshua Marston, the director, and he was very interested in meeting with me because of my work in that film. And he basically, after I read for him and the producer, Clay Tekerin, they were like, we love you. You are our Madonna, you know. There was no question about it. And I think also just all the years of my work and being in the industry and everything gave me also that confidence to walk in there and just be that character. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I owned it.
Well, I heard there's a little story behind that because you actually almost had a special audition held for you.
Absolutely. I was in New York visiting my daughter. She was graduating from college. She's a film editor. And
okay.
I did have an audition for the film in L.A., and I missed it because I was here. But they were doing, coast-to-coast casting. So they were on their way to New York to cast the film. They just weren't ready. They weren't set up yet. So my manager requested that if they could please see me in New York, you know, and just in knowing, being familiar with my work, agreed. And then that was very instrumental because it's very different when you audition for someone on tape as opposed to when you audition in person, because the chemistry, you know, you don't get that chemistry and that meeting, and you don't really get to meet someone's spirit on tape, you know. And I think that's really what sold it, the fact that they actually got to see me in person.
And you have to do a flat reading, right? It's not like you have the script in advance
I had the script, I had the script like over the weekend. I got the script on Friday, and my audition was maybe on, my audition was on Monday. So I did have a weekend to look over the script and stuff, but it was a little challenging because I wasn't home. I didn't have the proper wardrobe. I didn't really have a place to prepare because I was, staying with my daughter on her couch. So it was definitely challenging.
Well, I heard that you learned English because you spoke Spanish mostly in your household as a kid. You learned English by watching television?
I did. I learned English on Sesame Street, and when I got to kindergarten, I knew a little bit of English, but I learned Spanish because my parents didn't speak English. They were basically very new to the country.
Well, I prepared a little song for you because just in honor of your Colombian heritage.
That's fantastic.
It's by Colombia. It's by the group called Colombia Chill. And
Columbia
I'm not
Chill. Saying,
yeah, so I might not be pronouncing it right Yo Me Amo Cumbia. Cumbia.
Ah, Yo Me Llamo Cumbia. Cumbia.
Cumbia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to play the first part of that, and then we're going to come back again and talk to you some more.
Okay, fantastic.
You're listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and we're talking to actress Patricia Ray about her life, her career, and, well, I'm going to talk to you about your exercise classes, which are power yoga.
That's right. Power yoga is basically Ashtanga yoga, which is based on strength and flexibility. And I teach in Los Angeles at a studio called Core Power. So we do incorporate heat, like the Bikram series, but it's a shorter class. It's only 60 minutes as opposed to a 90-minute class. And we also incorporate music to it. So it's a really... It can be a spiritual experience if that's what you want to take from the class, or an aligning of the spirit, a de-stressing of the body, and it just basically helps you turn your mind off so that you can just channel and get into your own quiet space. We all need that in this time and age where everything is like, you know, the cell phone, the iPhone, the this, the that, you know. I think people need to have their quiet time.
I agree. It sounds something like a meditation, but you're stretching as well?
I equate yoga to me, it's a moving meditation. It's the physical part of meditation where you get the mind in a quiet space, and you distract it doing a movement where wherever you need to, like maybe release tension or stretch or strengthen. And it keeps your body, not only your mind tone, but your body tone, because it has such an emphasis on the alignment of the spine. And the spine is really the throughway for the whole body. If the spine isn't healthy, it's very hard for the body to be healthy.
Well, it sort of like holds you up.
Absolutely. And, you know, if your
it's
spine
your frame.
Has collapsed. Yeah, it's your frame, absolutely. It's such an essential part of your well-being. And people are, you know, of all ages are coming to yoga. It's like the biggest growing movement right now. People of all ages in their 50s, 60s are trying yoga, and I teach a beginner's class, and it's such a wonderful enrichment in my life to have people come and say to me, you know, I can't do that, I don't know if I can, and I'm like, listen, as long as you're breathing, you're doing yoga. If I can do it, you can do it. You know, I came to the teaching end of yoga. Later in life, I've only been teaching for a year, so I'm like, you, as long as you have the will and the willingness to do it, you can, it's one day at a time. It's a practice, which means you don't have to be good. That's why you do it every day, because you get better at it.
And, you know, acting jobs don't come every single day, so sometimes actors have to supplement their income. Is that what you're doing with the yoga classes?
Absolutely. I'm supplementing my income and my instrument.
There you go.
I need other things in my life to fulfill me. You know, I'm a mother, I'm a partner, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister. You live life. If you don't live life, you can't inform your characters with life. You know, you don't stop living just because you're not working as an actor. You know, you need to continue to move forward.
I agree, because how can you be an actor if you don't live life? I mean, how do you just suddenly know how to be a particular character unless you have some kind of emotion connected to life?
Absolutely, and that's my biggest advice to any young actor that's coming up in the industry is don't stop living just because you want to pursue an acting career. That should be your impetus for living. If you want to be an artist, you can't be a painter if you don't see the world, you know. You can't interpret things if you don't go out there and try and understand them.
Well, I saw where you got your SAG card in one day, and that was after you got a role in Miami Vice. Tell me about that.
I did. I've always been, I've never been one of these people that sits around and waits for people to come and find me or knock on my door. And I always wanted to be an actress. But when I, right after I got out of acting school, I studied at the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute in New York. I immediately
went out.
That's
a prestigious school for actors, isn't it? Wasn't Marlon Brando?
It is, yes.
Marilyn
Monroe.
Or so many others.
Yeah, everybody went there. So I, you know, I wanted to study where all the people that I had respected and my role models, or you know, the people that inspired me. And so I wanted to study there. And as soon as I got out, I was like, I'm not going to sit around and study forever. I need to work. I need to make money. And I had been living in Florida for a couple years, and a friend of mine said, well, you know, I'm a manager and I can help you work. And he sent me as an extra on the set of Miami Vice, and that was the first time I ever stepped on a film set, period. I didn't know anything. And it was a big casino scene, and they were still casting a few speaking roles. And the casting director at the time was walking around the set looking for, they needed to cast this one particular role. She was a guest star, and she played a pivotal role because she was a mislead in the episode. The episode was about this guy who was like a serial killer. He was killing all these prostitutes. And I played a prostitute on the show. Women on Miami Vice were always whores. So I saw the casting director, and she was like walking around picking very specific girls. And I couldn't understand why she wouldn't consider me. So I just, you know, ignorance is bliss. I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, excuse me, I would love to read for that role. And she looked at me with this indignant, you know, look on her face, and she was like, okay. And I went in front of the producer, John Nicolella, who was actually directing that particular episode, and I read with him, and he bugged me. He was like, she's the one, and that was it. So I went from extra to guest star in like half an hour, and I got my SAG card in the same day.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yes, I believe in being proactive, you know. You can't wait around for things to happen to you. Sometimes you need to, let your energy and your force push it out there, and you know, put your will out into the universe. You are what
you
say you are, you know.
Well, I think that you are a co-creator with the divine, but you have to believe that.
Absolutely, you have to believe it wholeheartedly. Nobody, you know, becomes president if they don't believe that they have that power within them. You know, you have to envision it, and once you envision it, you need to put it into action.
I agree. Well, that's my motto. Take your will, apply it to your intent, taking it to action, believing.
Absolutely. That's the only thing that anything's ever accomplished in the world. And you also have to to keep at it, you have to be persistent. You have to be tenacious, because you will fail. You will. Life is a series of failures and, you know, subsequent accomplishments. You know, it's like you keep moving forward until you move to the next step, you know.
Well, if you observe life, don't you think there's a polarity? There's always a negative and a positive, but neither one are bad or good. They're just forces that help you learn, because I think this is like a place of lessons. Well,
Absolutely. You're
a student and you're an actor. You're on the stage of your life and you're a student studying life.
Wow, that's beautifully said. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I definitely invoke in my classes, is that, and the whole spirituality behind yoga is that life is full of tragedy and full of happiness. So we're just observers of that. You know, we have to take the good and the bad and just live through it. We can't own it. You know what I'm saying? You don't own your pain and your grief. It's just something that happens. We don't necessarily control it, but we don't need to judge it.
Exactly.
You know?
I think it's how you perceive. Everything is how you perceive in life. If you're looking at it just like, what is this lesson I have to learn? Because you know that you ride a wave. Everything in life has energy and it's waves. You just ride the wave and you get out of it what you have to get out of it. But I think that every negative opens up a compassionate heart, if that's the kind of person you are, and that's what you're here to do, is love.
Exactly. And also without that opposite, you know, without the tragedy and the things that sometimes wound us, we don't learn compassion. We don't, you know, we don't have, you know, a path to healing others as well, because you have to have that, you know, you have to understand. If you
exactly.
live just a life of happiness and bliss, and, you know, how can you understand suffering? And not just your own suffering. You need to be able to hold up the other, you know, other people when in their times of need.
I agree. And so you have to go through that suffering in order to understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you always come, once you get through that point in your life, I believe that through your light, your enlightenment, or your God, whatever you believe in, you always come out on the other side wiser for it.
I agree. Now, speaking of that, a compassionate heart, are you involved in any humanitarian pursuits?
What I would like to do very soon when I get back to LA is set up. I've been working on translating my yoga class and my practice into Spanish, because that's another thing that I feel that the ethnic community is not really spoken to so much in terms of yoga, because if you're Catholic, you attach religion to yoga, and it's not really religion, it's a spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to offer free classes in Spanish for the...
Well, you're back, so I guess you dropped away?
My phone decided it was done.
I know how that is. Well, we don't have a lot of time left in the show, so I wanted to find out if there's a website or something that you want to share with the audience.
Absolutely. I produced with my partner this really lovely little comedy that he wrote and directed called Silver Lake Video, the movie. I do a really great job in the movie. My friends, Mark Christopher Lawrence and Scott Krinsky from Chuck, they're my co-stars on Chuck. They are also in the film. They lent their fabulous talents to it. And you can rent it off the website at SilverLakeVideoTheMovie.com. And definitely come out and see The Wedding. The movie's called The Wedding now, not The Big Wedding. They've changed the title quite a few times. So we're at The Wedding at this point.
Oh, we're at The Wedding. Okay, and that, I understand, is going to be filmed in Connecticut. The latter
yes.
part of it.
Yes, we are shot, all of it was shot in Connecticut. So we're almost done. There's just actually this week, and then we're done. We're wrapped on the 22nd, and this fabulous experience will come to a close, but it will all be on the screen, and I really think it's going to be a dynamite film. So I was very blessed to be a part of it.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to say before we end the show?
No, I think you've been such a lovely host, and thank you so much for opening up your heart to me and being so gracious. And, you know, I applaud you for doing what you're doing. We need more women out there, proactive.
Tell me about it.
Charge.
Well, it sounds like you're taking charge in your new movie. And again, give us the website for that, and people can check out that film and the name of it again.
It's SilverLakeTheMovie.com. You can download it, or you can buy a hard copy of it, or you can view it, you know, on the internet. So it's a very funny little movie about the mom and pop shop, how corporate America is really doing away with, you know, small time businessman.
Now that could be a whole nother show.
Absolutely.
That subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! But you're saying the name of the movie is Silver Lake?
Yes, the name of the movie is Silver Lake Video, the movie, and the website is SilverLakeVideoTheMovie.com.
Okay. Well, good luck with everything, and I thank you again for coming on the show and talking about the wedding.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure to have spent this half hour with you, Patricia Ray.
Absolutely. You too. You've been so lovely. And maybe we can talk after the film comes out.
Oh, sure. Mona has my information. You can get in touch with me. And we'll talk again.
Absolutely. Have a beautiful day.
You're quite welcome. And you as well. And I guess the film will be out, released in 2012, correct?
Yes, October 9th of 2012 release date. Lionsgate will be releasing it, so it'll have a nice big theatrical release.
We'll be looking forward to October
12th, 2012. Thank
you. So this is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and we've been talking to Patricia Ray, and I'm Deirdre Shuley, your host, thanking my audience for making my topic topically yours. And you know what? We're going to end the show with the second half of Columbia Chill. Here I go trying to pronounce it. Yo me llamo Cumbia.
Cumbia. Awesome.
Cumbia.
Cumbia.
Cumbia. And here we
Beautiful.
Go.
Beautiful. Thank you.